Hello and welcome to the LSAT Demon Daily. My name is Eric, and joining me today is LSAT Demon student Celine Makani, who has improved your score by, what, 20 points?
Yes, I started at 144, and my official LSAT that I just took was 164.
Amazing. Well, congratulations and well done. That's an improvement to be really proud of and only comes with a lot of hard work. So awesome job. Thank you for joining today and sharing your story. I wonder if you could take us back to the beginning of your LSAT journey and just kind of give an overview of what you did from the beginning to the end.
Yeah, definitely. So I actually didn't start my LSAT journey that long ago. It started in October, and I wasn't completely sure the path that I wanted to take, and I kind of went back and forth with things. And then I actually signed up. I started with LSAT Demon. I knew that I wanted to take the January LSAT, and I was just like, I need to try my best not to like jump around between programs. Like, I just want to start it correctly and just go like the right way about this. So I did my research, like read some forums, listened to the podcast, stuff like that. And I was like, okay, I want to start with LSAT Demon. I played around with like the free version, and I liked the videos. I liked the program and everything. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to start with this. I'm just going to stick to it and go for it.
Nice.
So yeah, I started with LSAT Demon and I ended with LSAT Demon.
But going back to the beginning of your studies, did you find any particular sections of the test more difficult than others? Did anything click for you right away?
I think my easiest section at first was logical reasoning. And it kind of started to shift as time went on. And like, logic games are really difficult for me. And like, reading comprehension has always been difficult for me. But I knew that with logic games, I just had to kind of let it click. Like, I was just waiting for that, like that moment. And I would kind of go to like the World's Wizardly classes and stuff with Matt. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to understand worlds. And I was like, I feel like as soon as I get this, I can really pick it up. And so logical reasoning was the easiest for me at first. And so I started to kind of study there because I'm like, okay, let's grasp this. And then I kind of spent like my study schedule at first was just like, I did like 2 days of one section, 2 days of another section, like 2 days of another. Mm-hmm. I kind of split them equally.
But still getting in some of each section at least once a week, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Great.
And I would try to attend classes for all of them and just kind of get like the basics down. And so my goal was to really just get like the background info. I read like the lessons and try to understand what like each type of question is as much as possible. And the proper methods to go about each question, I guess.
Do you remember when it was that the logic games really started to click for you? For many people, it's for myself included, it's where we're the most confused, honestly, when we first start, because it's unlike anything we've ever seen before. But over time, start to get used to it and feel the patterns. But do you remember what it was that kind of unlocked the games for you?
It was definitely worlds. And then kind of understanding when to do worlds and when it'll benefit me. And then it was really just like, and then I started just really drilling just logic games, just like over and over and over. And just my goal was to just get it all right instead of just like finishing it in like a quick amount of time. And so I really just tried to understand like what the question's asking me and using my setup to kind of even like predict the questions.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if you have worlds, it's really easy to predict. Like, and once you do them over and over, it's like you can see where, like, why they put that rule there. It's like they put that rule there to test you on something in particular, if it connects with another one, and, you know, like make an inference or whatever it is. So you start to kind of learn what kind of questions and what they're testing you on. And I feel like kind of like about a month in, and I was really drilling logic games for like a couple hours a day. I was just like, yeah, I was just doing section after section of just logic games. As much as my brain could just handle, I was just going for it. And so I started to get like minus zero on the sections, and I'm like, okay, it's finally starting to make sense. And if I got them wrong, I really tried to understand why. I think also a big difference for me was like, even when I got it right, I was like, why did I get it right? Why is that the correct answer? Because sometimes you just get things right by chance, and then you're kind of missing an opportunity to learn. And so for me, it was really just reading everything carefully and understanding why each is like wrong and right.
Do you remember any favorite games? As someone who has done most of the games multiple times, I have some that I go back to as like really memorable. Do you have any games that you remember really enjoying or really frustrating you?
I don't know why, and I don't know. There's one that was like with flowers and like gardenias.
Yes. Like... yes.
That one's coming to mind right now, and I'm not exactly sure why. I don't know if I enjoyed it, if I hated it. It's just coming to mind.
I remember that as a tricky game. Yep. Where you're building bouquets, right? Yep.
Yes, the building bouquets, and then you can only put, yeah, that one stuck out. I think I did that a couple times, and that's probably why. And I think maybe I watched a class on it too.
That's a tricky one. Good practice for building worlds. You got to be super careful on that one. So, yeah, if you're listening to this podcast and you have access to the demon drilling search feature, just search for, I think, yeah, gardenias and flower bouquets, you'll run into it. It's a good one.
Yeah, definitely.
Great. Well, you mentioned that reading comprehension was also more challenging for you. What helped you to improve at reading comprehension? Because I think it is also a section that is really intimidating to a lot of people, and where many students feel they make the slowest progress or the least progress, but it is a learnable skill. So what was it that you found really helped to improve your skills at reading comp?
Honestly, it was very hard to improve on it. And I feel like I kind of went up and down a lot. For me, it was definitely when I started just reading sentence by sentence, and trying to understand what is the purpose of the sentence. What are they trying to convey? And it does slow you down at first, which is kind of annoying. But I think slow and steady really does help with reading comp at first. And you know, with everything, with practice, you start to speed it up. But it was really like, why is this author writing this? And what is it trying to convey to me? And it was also something that I realized that I was doing was like, I was reading the passage carefully, but not the questions and the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that with a lot of sections, and that's when my score went up, because I was like, I'm like, okay, I've been told that I need to read carefully, but I was only doing that with the passage on all those sections. And then I realized, okay, read the answers really carefully too.
Yeah.
And that changed a lot for me. It's like, it's funny as it sounds, it was like, especially with reading comp too, I was like, read this question, like the answers really carefully. And I think I listened to either a podcast or I don't know what it was, but they were telling us that we should treat them all as must be trues. And at first I was like, I don't get what that means. Like, and then I tried to put it into practice and it made a lot of sense. Like, what has to be true? Like, this passage is giving the answers in the passage.
Yes.
And once I went with that mindset, like this answer has to be in this passage, it doesn't come from nowhere. So it has to be true. And like, of course, there's like few exceptions, but it really helped a lot with reading comp.
Yeah, the exceptions perhaps being like if they ask you for an analogy question, where obviously the analogy will describe some situation which isn't in the original passage, but still the reason for picking that is explicitly in the passage. You're not making up information. You can point to where in the passage you justify your answer, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like once you realize like they're not really trying to trick you, it's just you have to, like, it's there. It's on the screen. You just have to be able to connect the dots, I guess.
For sure. I also really like what you said about needing to read the questions and the answer choices super carefully, too, because how many times is it one word or just two words being in the wrong order that makes an answer choice wrong, right?
Yeah, and it's funny because sometimes you'll read a question, it's like that, or like an answer, and like, that looks, what's the difference? And then that's when you know you're not reading carefully enough. Because if it seems the same, there's something wrong. Like, they're different. There's something different, and they're trying to see if you catch it, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have a favorite section of the test now?
Logic games.
Logic games became your favorite?
Yes. With logical reasoning, I was at first like, oh, it's so easy. And then, like, I started noticing on my practice test, it would go up and down. Like, I'd be -2 and then I'd be like -10. I'm like, what's going on here? But like, logic games became very consistent for me. And I feel like I like things where I can see results. You know what I mean? Like, I'm putting in the work and I'm getting the results. And it kind of, it's truly a game. So it does become kind of fun. And I feel like it's not as like tiring for me. Like, with reading comp, I get tired.
Yeah, sure.
And so, yeah, definitely, even though logic games was the worst, it became my favorite.
Nice. Well, I agree, I think. I do really like reading comprehension just because some of the passages I find really fascinating. Like, I actually learn stuff. Mm-hmm. But the games are a lot of fun. As bewildering as they were when I first started, the games are a lot of fun.
Yeah, I remember when I first started and people were like, what's the LSAT about? I'm like, here, just look at this question. I'd always show them a logic game. They're like, what is this? Like, I'm like, yeah, exactly.
This is what lawyers do? Strange.
They're like, okay, flowers? But
any test day experiences? I guess you only had the one official test and it went well for you. Anything about official test day that was surprising to you? Or did you find yourself to be nervous, or maybe nervous, definitely, but it wasn't a problem?
Yeah, I was nervous, and I do tend to get some like test anxiety. And so I really tried to take a lot. I took a lot of practice exams. And so I really tried to treat those as real exams. Like, my setup was always like the same. I did it in the same room. And so for me, like, all of that was good because everything was exactly the same, like in my room, like I did it in this room, and that was all good. Like, I wore the same clothes. I did everything the same. For me, it was all, I had like anxiety about like my computer, like my Wi-Fi going out or something. And so like, I connected like an Ethernet cable like from upstairs to downstairs and stuff.
Hey, but just it was to really be safe. Just,
yeah. I think for me, the proctor was kind of like, it was kind of difficult because it seemed like we weren't all on the same page. Hmm. But I had already spoken to like LSAC a few times and I already knew like what I was allowed to do on the test, or you know, that kind of thing. So, or like, they didn't always like scan the room and stuff, and I was like, are you sure, like, do you want me to scan my room? They're like, oh, okay, sure. And I'm like, yeah, I just want to be safe. Like, so yeah, I was just like, I can't let this like my test be delayed, or like my score be delayed and stuff like that. So but otherwise, no, I was really lucky to have a good experience. Like, my family was making sure like they were really quiet in the house and stuff, and nice. So I was like prepared for it, but you know, sometimes things happen that you can't control. And so I was scared for that. But luckily, it was pretty good. It was nerve-wracking. But
I imagine, I mean, I had this experience, some nerves. But once I got started, the nerves kind of went away once I got into the rhythm of doing the LSAT.
Yeah. And as soon as like you get used to like the format, and like, because you're kind of used to do it, like, you're used to doing it like on the LSAT demon and stuff. So it looks different and stuff like that. And for me, those things kind of, I try to like keep everything the same. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you get in the flow, yeah, it's like, you know what you need to do. You're like, you've been preparing for this. You need to focus. Like,
yep.
Let's get this done. And you get in the flow. Like, it's, you expect it to be like completely different, but it's just the same. Like, it's the same as your practice test. Like, it does sometimes seem like, oh, this one was so hard. And you always read online after the test, like, oh, that one was so hard. Why was it so hard? And it's really just because it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it's honestly, it's just like any other practice exam. It truly is, as long as you treat them that way.
Yeah, totally agree. When you were studying, you mentioned you would do sometimes just drilling games for hours, but you would still do a little bit, at least of each section every week. What was your kind of average day in terms of how long you studied, or maybe run down like what a typical week of study would be for you?
Yeah, definitely. So when I first started, I was kind of doing about an hour to 2 hours a day. And that's when I was really trying to split my, like, just do like 2 days of this, like 2 days of logic games, 2 days of logical reasoning, 2 days of reading comp. And then once I got like those basics down, I was like, okay, I'm looking at my practice exams. I want to improve logic games. And then I just really like most of the days of the week were just logic games. And then I would like do like 1 day of the other sections basically. And then I started to do a practice test once a week. So my Sundays were dedicated to practice tests, and then my Mondays were dedicated to reviewing the practice tests. Mm-hmm. I was too exhausted to review it right after. So I would do that the next day, and then I would just continue on with my schedule. Once I felt like, okay, I want to move on from like logic games, I moved on to like logical reasoning, and then I moved on to reading comp, and then I kind of just split my time again. Closer to the test date, I felt like my reading comp improved, but not as much as I wanted it to. And then my logic games had already improved, and my logical reasoning was fluctuating. So I'm like, I see potential in improving this because I have the potential to get like a -2 to -5. It's just not consistent. So I also started kind of focusing in on that. And what changed for me was like, in the beginning, I just tried to get as much done as I could to feel like I was being efficient. Mm-hmm. And then I realized like, no, like I need to slow down and just like, even if I do 5 logical reasonings and I really understand it, that's going to make a bigger difference than just getting 50 questions done. So I started kind of just taking my time. Like, it's okay if like you see more wrong on the sections, if you do a section instead of like drilling. But I really started to see improvement when I just really tried to understand it instead of like trying to be like, oh, well, if I got 50 questions done today, I did so good, you know?
Yeah. When you took the time to actually understand each question, you're talking about in your review, you would, if you got a question wrong, stick with it for a while, not immediately hit next and try to get that next question right.
Yeah, kind of both. So even like just doing the question, I would slow down and then reviewing it as well.
Great.
Just because like I always just try like, okay, I need to get this many questions done today to feel like I got a good amount done. But then I just started to like, okay, let me take my time with this question and then take my time reviewing it as well, both, you know. And I more so did that with like drilling, and then with sections, I tried to treat them more as like tests. But when I for the most part did drills, so I just took them question by question, tried to ignore like my score going up and down and stuff like that, because at first it's like, oh look, I'm like going up, I'm going up, and oh, why is it going down all of a sudden? But just trying to ignore the, oh, I need to get this many questions done, and just really trying to focus in on what is this question asking and what answer is really like the only one that has to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you realize that 4 of them are wrong for a reason, like there is a certain reason that you can pinpoint that they're wrong. And there's a certain reason you should be able to pinpoint that one is right. And so I tried to tell myself that like every day, like I'd write it down in front of me. I'd be like, 4 are wrong, 1 is right. there's no reason you should be picking between 2. And of course it happens. You know, you can't avoid question, like, of course. But it helps because you know that, like, if you can tell yourself this is wrong because of this word or, you know, whatever it is, it helps a lot. It helped me a lot.
Well, that's all great stuff. It sounds like you made some really crucial changes and picked up on some important lessons along the way. And hey, the proof is in your success. A 20 point increase is no small feat. So congratulations again. Is there anything that you would like to leave our listeners with? Anybody who's going through their own studies right now or thinking about starting their studies for the LSAT? Any advice that you would give?
Yeah, I think like just start with the basics and just then start focusing on what you think you could improve. And, you know, everybody has their own way of studying. And I think most of us, I mean, we've all, if you're going to law school, you might be in an undergrad or you already graduated. Like, we all know how we study best, I think. And really just try to be consistent with that. Like, if you're not someone that does, like, you're better studying on your own, do that. If you're better going to classes and like learning with other people, do that, you know? And it's not any different. It's still just a test that it's doable. You know, it's all doable. It's not the end of the world. There's multiple, you know, there's multiple chances, and maybe like the first time it'll be good for you, maybe the second time, but it depends on your personality too. So just do what's best for you and it'll all work out in the end, I think.
That's some good advice. All right. Well, thanks, Celine. Really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story, and congratulations and best of luck with your applications.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
And if you'd like to share any LSAT or law school admissions news, or perhaps share your own LSAT success story, you can get a hold of the show at daily@lsatdemon.com. Thanks for listening.